I learned that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And that scripture, we use it a lot of times, and I can get that job, I can get that car, I can get that degree, I can, then sure, we can. However, I can be content in all things. And so if God doesn't have that for me, that doesn't make me less than.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Shelby Abbott. Your hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. You can find us at familylifetoday.com.
This is Family Life Today. I'm single and I got no man. That's what we're talking about today. No, we are going to talk about an exciting topic today.
I think so.
Well, what is it?
It's being single.
Yeah.
As a single woman.
As a single woman.
It'll apply to single men as well.
I think so.
And here's where it really applies for our listening audience. A lot are moms and dads with adult children who are single.
Yeah.
And are like, how do I navigate this with my single adult child?
And they're trying to get their son or daughter married,
right,
maybe. And so what does that do to their son or daughter? How does it make them feel?
We've got a single woman.
I am.
Sherry Lynn.
I've been single a long time, Dave, a long time.
How do you feel about that, Sherry? Do you feel lonely?
That is so funny because, well, do you need to introduce me or should I just launch into loneliness? I do not and I never have.
Really?
And so I have—
Wait, singles are just pulling up thinking, wait, what did she just say?
Yeah, as far as obviously you want a relationship. Obviously you want to share certain things with someone. You want to have that quote unquote person. But I think that in my 20s, I felt that. And I'm going to tell you the story that made me have a different perspective, just a different perspective. This is a true story. Preface it by saying many of you may not like it. It's true nonetheless. I was speaking at a church. I think I was 26, 27, hotshot. No one should have had me speaking anywhere.
And by the way, you speak every day.
I do.
On
yes.
the radio,
yes,
the Sherry, the Brant and Sherry. You know, it should be the Sherry and Brant.
No,
I'm just thinking,
no,
I got
no.
it backwards.
It's the Brant Hansen Show on the radio, and then it's Brant and Sherry Oddcast.
Yes. And we love both of you.
Thank
and
you.
And had both of you on.
Yeah. That's my brother. And, so.
And you're the producer, the executive producer for both shows.
I do. I produce both shows and help co-host.
So standing up on a stage and speaking at a church is not something you don't do. You do a lot of this kind of stuff.
I do. And when I was younger, it was a lot more ego-focused, a lot more. I was a kid. So in my early, mid-20s.
And give us a little bit of your history.
Sure. I mean, I was grew up in the church. I always say I was born on a pew. whenever they noticed that I had the gift of gab and that I had a really good memory. And so I was like a little child prodigy of, you know, they could give me little scriptures and I could almost preach a little sermon by the time I was, you know, 10 or 11. And then I could write, you know, productions and stuff like that. I come from a very creative family. I just did a lot of stuff. So by the time I was in my mid-20s, I had gone through college. That's when I found out, oh, you're not a believer at all. You're actually a wretched sinner. And that
I grew up in the church.
Yeah.
But,
oh, my goodness. I'd say I have never seen someone backslide so quickly in all of my life. Like, it was like, yeah, the first 2 days on campus. So that's when I realized, oh, you don't know Jesus. You were just in the church and your family knew him and you knew them. And so you knew him by association. And so I had a really rough college time and early 20s or into that of just really, it was trauma. I came from a background of trauma. My father was a drug addict and drug dealer. And so I grew up in that and all that entails. And so.
But you had a great mom.
I have a fantastic, stellar, gold star mom who I always say stood between me and hell, between me and Satan and said, no, no. And she interceded for me. She gets whatever she wants now. People always say, why you always got your mom with you? Because she gets any single thing she wants.
Because saved your life.
She did. She believed God when I couldn't. And so by mid-20s, again, I wasn't totally out of that. I was out of that lifestyle, but I still had the vestiges of that. And I should have been sitting down being taught. But I can run my mouth. I can draw a crowd. Everyone's like, yeah, have her at your church. So, okay, so there I go. So I'm on stage and I'm speaking. And it was a bigger church. It was probably one of the biggest churches I had spoke to at that point in my career. And I get done And I sit down and people are coming up, you know, people afterwards, hey, hi, enjoyed what you're speaking, all of that, and shaking hands, all of that. And a lady that goes to that church is standing next to me as I greet people. One lady comes up to me and she is holding an infant and she has two little kids on either side of her. And she says to me, we're talking, she said, may I ask how old you are? It's weird, but sure. And I said, you know, 25, 26, 27, whatever I was. And she said, that's what I thought. She said, you're my age. Hmm. She said, and the whole time you were speaking, I was thinking, that could be me. That could be me.
Hmm.
And so I didn't know what to say. Okay, great. And hug, bye, kids. She walks off. And the lady standing next to me that went to that church said, whoa. And I said, what? And she said, that was the pastor's wife.
Oh.
And I said, whoa. And that was one of the seminal moments for me as a single woman, thinking you could be sitting somewhere wishing you had someone's life and they're sitting somewhere wishing they had yours.
Hmm.
So any loneliness that I was feeling at that time, I wish I had a husband, I wish I had kids, I wish I had that. It must not be the fix of everything.
Hmm.
Because she's sitting there with her kids, married, looking at single me up on stage, wishing she were me.
Yeah.
And so the grass can't be greener over there. Hmm. It can't be. So that started my journey of understanding contentment. How do I be content where I am? Because it's not going to make any sense. I have to be honest. It's not going to make any sense for me to strive to be somewhere or be someone who's striving to be me.
So it made you feel like I don't have to be complete when I have a husband, I
right.
can be complete right now as I am a single woman.
Yeah. I mean, to me, if I'm trying to get to her status
right.
and she's standing in front of me with the baby saying, I was looking at you saying that could be me. How ridiculous is it for me to continue to think that that's the answer for me?
That was a gift to you.
It really was. It really was. And God knew you are going to be single. So you need this gift now so that you can begin that journey of understanding.
Well, talk about contentment, because you just mentioned the word.
Yeah.
And, you know, preaching for 30 years.
Uh-huh.
If I'm opening a sermon on relationships or marriage, mm-hmm. I often would say something like that because I knew it always get a laugh.
Yeah.
I would always say, so the single people right now today are like thinking, man, if I just got married,
I'd be so happy.
Right, right.
And I got to tell you, hey, single people, guess what the married people are thinking? They're thinking, oh, girl, you have no idea. They're thinking, I married the wrong person. You know, and everybody laughed just like that.
Yeah.
And the truth is, they really are thinking that.
Yeah.
And we know both are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Singles, yeah. You're not going to be happy if you're married. Marriage, you're not going to be happy if
That's
you're single
right.
or married to somebody else. It's deeper than that.
Yeah.
So what's your journey been with contentment and singleness?
Well, I learned that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And that scripture, we use it a lot of times, and I can get that job, I can get that car, I can get that degree, I can, then sure, we can. However, when Paul was talking about it, the beginning scriptures, the scriptures before that, is him talking about, I've had clothes, I haven't had food, I haven't, I've had money, I haven't. I can do all things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I can be content in all things. And so if God doesn't have that for me, that doesn't make me less than. There's nothing in scripture that tells me that. And so I have to be honest. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are lovely, pure, I have to be honest with myself and say, hey, He doesn't require that of you. You may want that. The culture may have put that in your head. I interviewed young ladies about being single for a podcast series I have coming up. And the one girl said to me, with tears in her eyes, Disney lied to us.
Oh, yeah.
It broke my heart, not just because of that. Of course, Disney's going to lie to you. Of course, the culture's going to lie to you. Of course, they did. I don't know that the church came and told her the truth.
Oh.
That's the hard part, is that if Disney lied to you, and then all we did was take what they said and put a Christian veneer on it, now we call it marriage, now we call it something else, we're still lying to you that you need something to complete you.
Well, I think that we all thought, I thought that growing up, when I find Prince Charming,
right.
I will be happy
right.
ever after.
And look, he's sitting right here.
He
I
is.
Know.
And guess what?
I realized there's a truth to it. It's just that the prince is King Jesus.
Yes.
Now, if that was the end goal, we'd all be content.
Right. And that's what I talk about. I was talking to these young girls, and I said, you know, when the woman at the well who has been through quite a few guys, is standing there. She's obviously empty. Jesus could have said, hey, I know you don't have a husband right now, right? I got 12 guys. They're amazing, right? Peter's already married with 11 guys. Hmm. One of them's a traitor. I don't want to talk about it right now. So that gives us 10, right? How about John? How about Thomas? How about Nathaniel, right? Okay, and parade them in front of me, if that were the answer. That's not what he offered her. He offered her him. He said, there is living water that you can have. And when you have that living water, it will come back up out of you as a well of life. And when he gave her him, she said, come see a man. She ran and said it. Come see a man, right? That's what I wanted. That's what I told the girls. I can't tell you how to go online and find a man. I can't tell you how to get ready for a husband. There are conferences for that. Please go to them if that's what you want. I want that for you. What I'm saying to you is I can only give you what's been given to me. Mm. And what's been given to me on this journey, Dave, is what you asked. What's been given to me is living water. Mm. I just had to be able to divorce myself from the ideas of the world and the culture, and then ask myself something I asked them, what is this pressure you're feeling? Mm. Is this a pressure for a relationship that is internal, external? Is this a Hallmark pressure? You waiting for the guy who just, you know, discontent in the city comes out to you. We know the story, right, ladies? Comes out, he comes into the bakery where you're working.
Where the 12 guys get out of the limo on The Bachelorette, yeah, right, and
yes,
walk in the house.
Yes, and we watch it, and we don't understand. Brant and I talk about it all the time. You are what you pay attention to. Mm. If I keep feeding myself with that, then it's external. I'm not telling, and I would say this on the podcast series, I'm not telling one not to get married. Please do. If that's the desire of your heart and God presents that to you, please do it. I'm saying contentment is something we all need as disciples.
I was going to say, I think every married woman
needs
to learn that contentment comes from Jesus.
Yeah.
Because what I do is I can think what we did in our marriage. Mm-hmm. When Dave would get his act together, then I can be content.
Yeah, I'm thinking right. The same thing about her.
Exactly. Okay. And so I think that we all have to come to a point to say Jesus is enough.
Yeah.
And I can find my joy and contentment in him. There's other things too, but the source of my contentment is him.
Yeah. As I told them, you're going to have to come to that realization. And then this has been my personal journey. I remember a friend, she won't mind me telling it because we've talked about it. We got to an age, 30s. Where that pressure in the church is really,
you ain't got no man.
Did
married,
you feel
married,
that?
Married.
How old they said it?
Oh, my goodness. How old are you? You don't want kids? Don't want to? I had one time someone interviewed me and said, so you never had kids? And that was her voice. And I said, no.
Which
and,
makes you feel less
right,
than.
And then she tilted her head to the right and said it again. So she said, never had kids. Never had children. I said, no, never had children. Never had children. Now, how am I supposed to? Yeah. I wanted to say no, not in the last 20 seconds that you asked me. I did not have a child, but it's that pressure.
And do you think most women feel that, especially in the church?
If you don't, I'd love to talk to you. Mm. If you're like, nope, never felt that once, I don't know. I don't know what that would be, but all the data that I have says they do.
So where does that come from? Not the pressure of being single.
Uh-huh.
Why do we in the church, married, put that on?
I think that there's a desire to be able to relate to someone. Mm. And you may not be able to relate to someone who's not picking up toys like you are. You may not be able to relate to someone that didn't just have an argument with their husband in the parking lot. Like, it's like our lives are so not similar that I don't know necessarily what to say to you. There is a cultural thing that has come into the church that I'm validated. Mm. By having a husband, I'm validated, but like my life starts, my ministry starts, everything starts when I get married. And I think that we've kind of been conditioned that way. I don't know how or where that started.
And I'd love to hear what you feel, that you're lonely.
I think so, but again, I'm not going to say that that doesn't happen, that loneliness doesn't occur. It was never steady in my life because I have way too many cousins. So they show up, they stay all the time. So it was never in my life. But there are times you wish you had somebody. What I learned, my friends started getting married and they were lonely.
That's what I was going to say.
That's when I started realizing, again, just like that woman saying, I thought it was you. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Then that can't be the answer.
Right.
Because my friend just got married. She's lonely. So that means that loneliness isn't cured by marriage. So do I feel lonely from time to time? Yes. But now I have to be real. Whatsoever things are true. I keep saying that because my counselor taught me that. I think that Romans 12, 1 and 2 really comes into play where having my mind transformed, being transformed by the renewing of my mind, then I don't conform.
Yeah.
Those are really only two choices. Either I'm going to conform to the world, I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And then it says, then you can prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That you can do that once you've been transformed, right? But if I'm conforming to the world and still wanting the perfect and acceptable good, but that's not going to work, right? So I had to be transformed. My mind had to be transformed, which means I had to tell myself true things.
What's that sound like?
It's like, that's not going to help. I wish I had a guide. And for me, it was times, I've felt it recently when my mother has had health challenges. And it's just me. She's living with me, right? And we live in a state where we don't have any family. And so going back and forth to the hospital, making sure she's okay, still having to work, all of those things, and feeling like that's just on you. And then saying to yourself, if I were married, I'd have someone to carry that with me. Would you? That you may.
You might.
But you have friends who are going through that with their parents, and their husband is jealous because you're giving your dad so much attention. And so now you have to try to juggle those both. That could have happened too. So is it true that your life would be happier or easier with that? You don't know. That's the truth. But you have grace right now. You have peace right now available to you. You have joy right now. God is here right now. That's what you have. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So that's what it sounds like.
Now, is there times when you're alone, maybe mom's gone to bed, and it's whatever, you know, and you're content?
Yeah.
Does that fly away at times? Are there times where you just lay there and go, man, I'd just love to have a man here right now? Again, no. I'm not saying
now.
You
I
do
think
or
when
don't.
I was younger.
Really?
But I think women who are a little older and single understand, I like my stuff where I like it. I don't, you know what I mean? I like my shoes where they were. I don't want to pick up your shoes. I don't want to pick up your socks. So I think I've talked to women who are in their 40s and 50s and single, talk about where you could feel a little dip in your contentment is when you want to, I want to go to this concert. I want to go to the movies. I want to go here. And you kind of have a built-in person that could do that with you or would do that with you. It's there. And then I had to ask myself, what are you asking for? Are you asking for a husband or are you asking for somebody to go to the movies with?
Yeah.
Because if you're asking, those are two different things.
Yeah. When you talk about dip, when your number.
I asked women, what is your contentment number? And I think this is a good checkup for you if you're listening. I do it for myself all the time. Where are we on the contentment here? Where I'm content in who I am in Christ, where I am in Christ, because I'm not promised tomorrow. So why do I think I'm promised a husband when I don't know if tomorrow is coming, right? So am I content right now? 1 to 10, we had a lot of women say, hey, I'm about a 7 or 8, 5 or 6, whatever. And then we talked about your number dipping. What makes me go to a 2? What makes me go to a 3? Some things were like holidays, right? Everyone kind of has somebody and I don't. New Year's, you know what I mean? When there's nobody to be there with. Those make sense. For me, I said it was a specific music channel that is all love songs. Why do you listen to that? I told you guys, my counselor was like, turn that off. Why are you listening to it? If your contentment's going from 8 to 2 and you're bottoming out because you're listening to some love song, turn it off. So my number will dip in those because I'm a very relational person. I'm a very, let's go out, let's eat, let's do that. Okay, get some friends. And it made me pour into my friendships that I have now that are so precious to me, so precious to me. And I've learned that I was able to do that where my married friends weren't necessarily able to do that because my married friends have kids and they have a lot of things. They laugh because I call it Married Island. And I say I'm on Single Island and I got to paddle out to Married Island. Because I said in the beginning, when a friend got married, I'd be like, all right, bye. And that's it. And so now I wouldn't ask you to go places. I wouldn't ask you. Because it was like, I don't want to go through that. Well, let me ask him. Let me check our schedules. Because as a single person, and singles, accept this, celebrate this. There's no other word than mine. If I say I'm going on vacation, I'm going on vacation. There is nobody to ask. There's nobody to say, well, let's look at our finances. But I do it, right? That's a nice thing. My word is the head word, right? Of course, you pray to the Lord, so.
What about single moms? Are they on their own island?
You know what? That is such a good... My mother, for all intent and purposes, was a single mom. My father was there, but not really. I think so. And I think that for as much as the church can surround that woman and those kids and make a family that we're supposed to be as a body of Christ, that is so important so that those kids don't feel like they're on an island.
Do you feel like your mom had that? Because you had a big family structure
around. I have a huge family, and I think that's what made it that. So that's why I never felt lonely. My uncles were sort of the father figures when my father, you know, had substance abuse problems, so he was in and out. But I had that. If you see a single mom and she doesn't have it, man, I think that is the church's responsibility to surround her and give her a family. That is so, so important to her and the kids.
Now, you mentioned at lunch, you felt pretty alone. You said the most alone you ever felt.
Yeah.
Can you take us there?
I lost a job. My co-host, Brant, we were both there. So he had quit and I knew that I was losing that job. And we did our final show. We were still doing radio, did our final show, and his wife and daughter were there with him. And I was going to their house later. They're like my family, so I was going to their house later. But I remember watching, the show was over, and his wife hugged him, his daughter hugged him. And I remember just sitting there.
Talk about a number dip.
I was in the negatives. Negative 567 was my content number. Because you turn with your arms out to hug somebody, oh, there's nobody there. And so my therapist always says, when we say Jesus and God is sufficient, she said he is sufficient for all things, but he may not be tangible human to touch now. Yeah. She said, and that is something that you have to wrestle with. And we all have to wrestle with it. And I never felt more single than that moment. I had my own studio. We left the main studio and him and his wife and his daughter went to the car. And I went in my studio and I collapsed on the ground and cried like a baby. Like, God, I am so by myself. There's nobody here to help me. Because I wasn't living anywhere near my family. That was the most single I had ever felt. And had to walk through that season. Like, there's no, and then Prince Charming came through. So if y'all waiting for that turnaround, it's not there. That is not a plot point. I had to really walk through that, and either God is going to be enough or he's not. And if he's not, we got big problems. I got big problems if he is not enough to get me through that. And I had to walk through it. I had to cry. I had to wrestle, but I'm better for it. I am. And this
piece, you go deeper spiritually?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think I told you guys, this is going to be weird, but it's true. I found funny shows to watch. Shows that you all probably won't find funny, so I'm not even going to tell you what they were, but they were funny to me. And I laughed and laughed and laughed. That's when I became more convinced than ever. I do comedy. I believe it's a ministry. Oh my goodness. That's when I knew, wait a minute, this really is something. I felt myself coming back to life with every laugh, with every joke, with every show, just binging it. And people say, you should have been in the Word. I was, but what I needed was joy.
Yeah.
I needed that joy, and I found it, and I am better for it, and I feel really compelled to help younger women, whether singleness is your path in life. And guess what? That's a valid path. Christ is okay with that. He's not saying, you better get married. He's not saying that. I know the world may be saying that to you. I know the church may be saying that. God's not saying that. That's not his. It's a valid path, and it's good. My life is good.
It is good.
It's good.
This will be my last question. How has your mom walked with you as a single? I'm thinking of parents that are like, I've got an adult son or daughter.
Yeah.
How do I walk beside them? What do I do and not do? I mean, I watched your mom and you at lunch and I see this beautiful relationship.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, what has she done? Or what is she
doing?
And
especially Sherry, because a lot of parents, if we have a daughter, we think her security is in a man who will take care of her.
Yeah.
But your mom,
no, she never encouraged me in that direction because the way I grew up. How do you say that to me? A man is going to be the one that really takes care of you. When I lived in the house for 18 years, the way we lived. So she knew it. that Jesus is your answer. And she would say, you better find some contentment in Jesus. And those college years and a little bit after, just to kind of flitting around doing everything all over the place, you better find your contentment in Jesus. Whatever you're out there looking for, it's not there. And I would say she was the black sheep of her family, of her mother's children. And I was her black sheep, where she kind of knew what to do because she knew what she went through. And so I think that her stature as a single woman, she did end up divorcing my father. Her stature as a single woman was something I could look at. Mm-hmm. Her contentment saying, God is my husband, and me not being able to reconcile that in my head, like, what does that mean? But then watching her walk it out, oh, so that when I felt the pressure, guys, this is important to me. When I felt the pressure of, you're not married, wouldn't you like to? I say to myself, you have a good life. So what are you asking God for right now? Are you asking him for a king? Because that's what Israel did. God is taking care of everything.
Oh, this is good.
He's taking everything you need, he is supplying. Every battle is fought. Everything is, you are, if you live in victory, you live in abundance, all of those things, they want a king. I want someone next to me that validates me to everybody else. Are you asking God for that, Sherry? Because if you are, you can have it. But as he told Israel, it's going to come with some stuff.
Didn't go real well.
Every married person knows that.
Yeah,
it comes with some stuff.
And this story, this is a story that I tell young women about. I just get emails. It's so heartbreaking. And that's why I'm so passionate about talking about contentment in Christ, not being picked. No one picked me to live the rest of their lives with. No one. That feeling. And I tell this story about my family. Now, we are a big family, both in numbers and many of us in girth, right? And so we are we're a big family. And one family reunion, we decided to play kickball. Why big people would decide to go play kickball, I don't know. But we did. So it's all of us and the kids and the family and all that. And we get up there and we let the kids be captain. And the kids are starting to pick. Right?
Here we go.
And all of a sudden, I'm in seventh grade again, right? Like, because the kids, even my nieces, my niece is about to graduate, and I'm going to bring it back up to her when she's looking for a graduation gift. Yeah, remember when you didn't pick Auntie? Like, everyone is picked, they're picking, and it's going, like, the numbers are going down. And I'm like, am I about to be, finally, I get picked, right? And I'm all right, we're going to play kickball. I get up to kick, right? Kick the ball. Great kick. Y'all, the time it took me to run from home plate to first play, I ran and ran. I was Forrest Gump. It took me so long to get to that first play that I'm drenched in sweat. And I'm like, please let somebody hit me out because I cannot make it around to home. And I hear music, right? And I look down in the pavilion where our family is, and the DJ has showed up because we're that kind of family. We're a family, you ain't got a DJ. And they're playing a cha-cha slide. The caterer has showed up. So people got ribs and sweet potato pie and greens and all that. Now, I've been picked. And I'm happy to be here playing the game. But if I didn't get picked, there's shelter and provision in the pavilion. I can have ribs. I can have
music.
Cha-cha slide. Both are great. So if you don't get picked for the game, yes, you want to play, you want to be in it, I get it. But ribs and cha-cha ain't bad either. And so I tell women all the time, take whatever the benefits of being single are right now. Enjoy life.
Enjoy
God. He's come to give us a life abundantly.
You know, Anne is going to be back in just a minute with Sherry Lynn. And as a special treat, Sherry's mom will be joining them in the studio to sing a tender version of "Tis So Sweet." That's just a few minutes from now. But first, I'm Shelby Abbott, and you've been listening to Dave and Anne Wilson with Sherry Lynn on Family Life Today. You know, Sherry has a podcast with a favorite of ours here at Family Life Today, Brant Hansen. It's called the Brant and Sherry Oddcast. Together, they have a daily radio show that's syndicated across the country with segments ranging from the latest animal news to interactions with listeners to discussions about how messy life can actually be. And of course, over all that, how God is good. You can search for a Brant and Sherry Oddcast wherever you listen to your podcast, or find the link on familylifetoday.com in today's show notes. You know, earlier this week, we had Stephen Byers on who talked about loving your community. He gave us some really proven practical steps on community-based outreach, and he's written a book called Loving Your Community. This book is going to be our gift to you when you partner with us financially here at Family Life Today. You can give online at familylifetoday.com, or you can give us a call with your donation at 800-358-6329. Again, that number is 800, F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. And feel free to drop us something in the mail if you'd like. Our address is Family Life, 100 Lakehart Drive, Orlando, Florida, 32832. You know, have you ever wondered what your marriage is for? Are you wanting more than what you've got? Well, you can join Aaron and Jamie Ivey, Vivian Mabuni, and other Art of Marriage contributors next week, November the 1st. It's going to be a night of marriage enrichment that you don't want to miss, and you can register now at familylife.com/coming soon or at the link in our show notes.
You're pretty fabulous.
Oh, well, thank you.
You do a lot of things.
I appreciate
that. You're pretty
incredible.
And you've brought your mom here to the studio today. She's just been listening. But you two share a really beautiful relationship.
Oh, I thank God for it.
Sherry, is your mom, is she your hero?
In every way. In every way. For me and my brother and the girls. My mom is not just to us. But to my cousins, her siblings.
She's everyone's hero.
She's the matriarch
Why
of our
do you
family.
Think?
Because she's just so steady. Hmm. And I always say, God really likes her. So when I take care of her, I always say.
She lives with you.
She does live with me. And it's the honor of my life to care for her every day in the relationship that God has given us. And I know that she went through a lot with me.
As I'm thinking about so many women that are thinking, if my marriage was only better, I could be happy. If my kids weren't rebelling, I could be happy. If my daughter or my son were married and I wouldn't have to worry about them, I could be happy. Bev, what would you say to those women?
I'd say to them, develop a relationship with Jesus and let him give you peace in that situation. And just believe that whatever he has for their lives, you have to trust God. Hmm. And believe that whatever he has for their life, it'll come. You have to keep praying for them. And even though you don't see it, he said, he that cometh unto me must believe.
Yeah.
Believe first that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Mm. So just diligently seek the Lord and let him work it out.
Mm. That's sweet. Yeah. And you can sing.
Can we get you to sing something today?
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to upon his promise, just to know, thus says the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I pray.
What if I told you there were 5 ways to stop sabotaging your marriage? Well, we're going to talk about that tomorrow as David and Wilson are joined in the studio with Ted Lowe to learn about how to strengthen your marriage through the truth of the gospel. That's coming up tomorrow. We hope you'll join us. On behalf of David and Wilson, I'm Shelby Abbott. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a donor-supported production of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.